After years on the road, Timmy parked the van and picked up the mic to bring you this podcast that features interviews with people from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me with your host, Joshua Toomey.
Okay, for you guys, and I've said this before, when you get dumped by the girl, do what I do. It's really silly. You have to lock your door so no one comes in on you. And you need to go out to the record store in preparation for this, because I'm sure none of you have any records that feature the vocalist Ronnie James Dio. But I do. I've got them all. Because I play them when the chick has bailed. Because on every Ronnie James Dio record, there is 1, 2, 3 Evil Woman Look Out Tonight songs.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talk To Me. This is episode 96, and this is a 2 for Talk To Me Tuesday. We have 2 great interviews for you today. First up, I have Wendy Dio. That's the widow of Ronnie James Dio, also the curator of the Ride for Ronnie, which you guys will find out about. And then I also have Martin Bush of Hyborian, great new band out, and the couple of great tunes by those guys, some Dio songs. It's going to be a great episode, and thank you guys for tuning in each and every week. And if you are listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, Podcast Addict, however you get your podcast, make sure you're heading over and leaving a nice 5-star rating, a nice 5-star review, which I will start out with a wonderful 5-star review from our good friend Scott L. Haney over there on the iTunes. Let's check it out real quick. Gotta pull it up and should be more prepared, but I'm not. Let's see, reviews. Here we go. L. Haney, 5-star review. Awesome podcast from a very unique perspective. To Me nails it, period. Unique perspective and awesome interviews. So thank you, L. Haney out there, Scott Haney, for all of your video needs. Make sure to check him out. I'm sure he's on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, however you get him. And if you guys are getting those stickers in the mail, make sure you're doing me one favor and heading over and leaving a nice 5-star rating, a nice 5-star review. That helps out so much when it comes to iTunes and algorithms and all kinds of computer jargon. You got a couple of free stickers. All I need is 5 seconds of your time and filling out a nice 5-star rating, 5-star review. And now on to our shoutouts for sharing. That's shoutouts for sharing on Facebook and Twitter. It's a nice long laundry list of shoutouts this week for sharing the John 5 episode. So they go like this, and we will start with John 5. I want to say thank you to John 5 for not only sharing on his Facebook, sharing on his Twitter, but also just sharing on his website. He made a nice post on his website about the interview, and that was one of my favorite interviews I've done in a long time. So hopefully you guys, if you haven't went back and checked it out, make sure to go back and check out episode 95 with John 5. So the people who shared the John 5 episode are Yvette Hernandez, James C. Harrison, Ear Peeler, thank you, Vic, Katie Douglas, Adam Cox, Dan Shapu, Kenneth Waugh, Chris Sinzak of the Decibel Geek Podcast, Chris Aiken, who was also a guest on that episode, and the co-host of the Classic Metal Show, shared it, Craig Weaver, AC, that's at AAULT1 on Twitter, MDG Rock Picks. That's Mike. Thank you, Mike. Ringside Podcast. Haven't seen that one on here in a while. That is the Daniel, formerly of Off Our Meds Podcast. Now does a nice wrestling podcast. Check out Ringside Podcast. Steak and Titties. Haven't said that name in a long time. Thank you to Steak and Titties for sharing. Which Where Vamp on Twitter. Metal Titans. Two of my favorite things, metal and the Tennessee Titans. I'm sure that's not what it is, but Metal Titans shared on Twitter. Midwest Bangers Ball. The SNJM podcast, that's the Saturday Night Jam Session podcast. Make sure to check that out with our good friend Eric Moore as the host, and the Classic Metal Show shared it. So thank you guys, all of you guys out there, for sharing on Facebook and Twitter. If you see this podcast show up in your Facebook timeline, your Twitter feed, make sure to hit that share button, hit that retweet button, and get a shout out on a future episode. Also, huge thank you to Bori and everybody over at Blabbermouth for sharing this podcast. You do not understand the difference in numbers when Blabbermouth, when the PRP, when all of the great metal websites start picking up the podcast, the numbers shoot through the roof. So thank you each and every time you guys share something on Blabbermouth. Love it. Thank you guys. And if you're seeing it on Blabbermouth, make sure to just, you know, comment on it, say how much you love Talk To Me or something like that. Make sure that Bori knows that he not only moves the needle, but so does the Talk To Me podcast. And speaking of moving needles, I don't even know how that segue works, but I just wanted to say what I did this week was I went out to see Zayo, and I only went out to see Zayo for one thing, and that's their merch guy for this tour. Their merch guy for this tour happened to be Trav Turner of the As the Story Grows podcast, and I've never met him in person until now. So I got to go out to one of my favorite venues to see a show, got to see one of my favorite people on this entire planet, and got to hang out with old Trav Turner of As the Story Grows, talked to him for a while. We did some tracks for an upcoming cover of a Deftones song that may or may not be seeing the light of day soon, hopefully sooner than later. But it was just great to sit down and see him. I've never met him in person, you know, as friendly as can be in person, one of the best people out there, one of my favorite podcasts, and one of my favorite podcast hosts. So if you guys aren't checking out the As the Story Grows podcast, make sure you are checking that out. And then speaking of podcasts, now that's a segue for you. I was recently on the John's Untitled podcast with our good friend John Aaron over there. I had forgot to talk about it in the last episode. Doing these all solo, you do tend to forget stuff. I always, when I listen back to these episodes, always hear stuff. I'm like, shit. I totally forgot to put that in there, but I wanted to say on this one that I was on the John's Untitled podcast. Make sure to head over to John's Untitled podcast, and that's J-O-N-S Untitled podcast. Check out my episode. He's got a lot of other great episodes on there. If you like my podcast, you will love his podcast, and we've had a couple of similar guests, and a couple of my future guests have already been on his podcast, so it's the circle of life when it comes to podcast and podcasting. So John Aaron, good dude. Make sure to check out his show, and definitely make sure to check out my episode of the John's Untitled podcast. And that leads us into our cover of the week this week, brought to you by puckhockey.com. That's P-U-C-K-H-C-K-Y.com. I got home from work the other day, and what do you know? A package from Puck Hockey was on the porch. Package from Puck Hockey on the porch? That's too many P's. I need to put my pop filter back on my microphone. But checking that out, man, I was going to do like a little unboxing video, but I tried it and I just didn't do really well. So I'm going to just tell you what I got. I got this sweet Doyle hoodie. And yes, it's like 83 degrees outside right now. And I said, hey, I want a hoodie. I don't know why I did it, but it was cold the day I got it. So I got to wear it for like 2 days and it looked cool as shit. Gotta love the Doyle stuff over there. All the great stuff. I got a bunch of great shirts. Go to my Facebook, go to my Twitter, and check out all the great stuff that I got in the mail. And if you want some great stuff from Puck Hockey, make sure you're heading over to puckhockey.com. That's P-U-C-K-H-C-K-Y. Checking out their Dave Ellefson, 36 Crazy Fist, Doyle, Head PE. So many great artists, so many great hockey players, so many just great shirts. They have great graphic tees. So shop till you drop. Use the promo code TALK at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Yes, that is TALK at checkout for 10% off your entire order. So for the Talk To Me cover of the week this week, I'm going to go back to the well. I'm back to the Body Count well, because they just did a great cover of Raining Blood by Slayer on their latest album, and I think it's great. So we're about to check that out right now. So for the Talk To Me cover of the week, brought to you by Puck Hockey, this is Body Count doing Raining Blood.
You are listening to Talk To Me on Uncontrolled Noise.
This is Dave Lombardo, and you're listening to Talk to Me.
All right, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I have two great interviews for you. First up, we're going to have Wendy Dio, and then we will have Martin Bush of Hyborian. So let's check out some Dio with We Rock, and then let's talk to Wendy. Alright, that was We Rock by Dio, and the event coming up Sunday, May 7th is the third annual Ride for Ronnie, presented by the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. And on the line we have Wendy Dio. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing great, and we thank you for your support.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking the time today. Just kind of getting it started. I mean, when did this, obviously this is the third annual Ride for Ronnie. So, right. I mean, what got you interested in doing a Ride for Ronnie?
Well, we do the bowling event, and we were talking about different events, and we decided we would do, because I have a board of directors of 14 board members, and somebody, I don't remember which one, but somebody came up with the idea, let's do a ride for Ronnie, a motorcycle bus, and then we do a concert in the park, and we thought it was a good idea, and we did it, and then it just was so good that we decided to do it every year.
Do you have any kind of history with motorcycles?
Well, just a few of the bands that that I manage ride motorcycles, so that's why it seemed like a good idea. And Harley Davidson has been a great sponsor of ours.
And all of this money goes towards the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund, which has raised over $1 million over the history of the fund.
Actually, we're almost up to $2 million.
Oh,
now.
Wow! Well, there you go. How important is it for you to continue to donate to these causes?
It's very important. I like to take something that bad that happened to Ronnie and try to make it into something good. Raise money and awareness for cancer research. Raise awareness that early detection saves lives, and also to keep Ronnie's legend and his music alive.
And on this event, you have such greats as the great Eddie Trunk hosting it, and then bands such as Lynch Mob, Eddie Money, Rough Cut, Dio Disciples, Loveless, and more. How did you get those bands involved in this? And even Eddie Trunk, too.
Well, they've always been, well, of course, Dio's Disciples is Ronnie's band for the last 17 years, his touring band. So, of course, they're involved. Rough Cut, I used to manage in the 80s, and Ronnie produced them. So, they've just reformed. So, it was a wonderful choice for them to play for us. Eddie Money has been a great supporter, a great friend and a great supporter. And Lynch Mob has been great supporters of Dio. Always, Only Logan, who is the singer, was a good friend of Ronnie's.
It was funny. The wife
so
and
it
I.
Made sense to have.
I was saying the funny that my wife and I were talking about this event last night, and we put on some Eddie Money, and it's kind of funny how so many years later you can still get into a band and put on their music, and we're like, wow, he sang that song too, or he sang that song too.
Right, exactly, and he's a great person, and his kids are are the band now. He has all his kids that play with him.
Oh, wow.
The drummer and his daughter is a guitar player, and his other son. It's good. It's really cool. And he enjoys it, and he's a good friend.
That's great. That's great. Can we go back and be a little bit sappy and learn how maybe you and Ronnie met back in the 70s?
Oh, a long time ago, yes. Actually, I was introduced to him. I knew Richie Blackmore's wife very, very well. I knew the whole band, Deep Purple Band, from England days. And I had bumped into Richie at the Rainbow, and his wife said, we're having a party. Richie just formed a new band called Rainbow, and we have a party up at our house. Would you like to go? So I said, sure. And I went there, and that's when I met Ronnie.
Did he sweep you off your feet? Was it love at first sight?
No, I thought he was too short for me. but he persisted on calling me and pursuing me, and I fell in love with his brain. And then we just got together, and that was it.
So, what was kind of the wooing process from Ronnie? Did he, you know, take you out, you know, try to woo you that way, or just how persistent was he?
He was very persistent. He called me a lot and came to visit me. He invited me to go on the road. They were going out on a tour, and he said, come out. And I said, oh, well, I can take maybe a couple of days off work. And I went out and never came back. Stayed there.
That's amazing. And you were with Ronnie when he first joined up with Black Sabbath. What was his, how did he feel about joining Black Sabbath at the time?
Well, we had been living in Connecticut, and when Ronnie got fired from Rainbow because he wouldn't write more commercial songs, we decided to move back to Los Angeles, and We were contacted by Tony Iommi, called Ronnie, and they went up together and wrote Children of the Sea the first time they got together, and then decided that's what they wanted to do.
And how, what was, like, obviously talking to you, I mean, how was he excited at the time to join the band? Because, I mean, in theory, Black Sabbath wasn't on an upswing at the time when he joined.
Right, exactly. He was a little apprehensive, but we only had $800 in the bank at the time, so he had to have a job.
You had to kick him out of the house and make him go do something, right?
Right, exactly.
How crazy is it to you that in 2017, you know, the end of Black Sabbath just happened?
I think it's sad in one way, but they left on the top note. I mean, they had a number one record with 13. They just did a worldwide tour, and I think it was a great high note to leave on. One of my very good friends is Gloria Butler, Geezer Butler's wife, and actually, she lives down the same street as me. So, I think it was sad in one way, but it was leaving on a high note.
Very good. And then they kind of get in a couple more things, but the hologram, the Ronnie James Dio hologram, has kind of shaken the musical landscape over the last year or so. What's the where are we at with that? Are you going to do an entire tour with that, or what's the
future
plans?
Getting prepared for that right now. We're making a new one. We're making like 8 songs. So we're working on that. That should be ready by September, and we're hoping to go out and start touring in September on that. And I feel that you know, Ronnie was an innovator in the music, and why not be an innovator in technology also? He tried to make a hologram in 1986 when we had the Sacred Heart tour. We did the big crystal ball with Ronnie's head in there talking, which was actually done with rear projection, but we were always trying to do new things and exciting things. And in fact, his personal just called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Hey, Wendy, I just found this interview that Ronnie did a long time ago." And they were asking Ronnie, "Well, what do you have plans of retiring? What will you do when you retire?" And he said, "Well, I don't think I'll ever retire. I'll probably die on stage. Or if I don't, I'm sure Wendy will find something for me to do after." So I thought that was quite funny.
Wow, that's amazing. So you got about 6 or 7 songs you're going to end up putting together, throw it out on tour and see what happens. Because, you know, every time I turned around there for months, it seemed, you know, people had some sort of reaction to it. Are you finding it more positive than negative, or how are you finding it?
I find them, some are positive, some are negative. If you've actually seen it, I think the people that have actually seen it are very positive. We debuted it at Wacken last year in Germany for 75,000 people, and they were all totally, totally blown away. And it's never been done before, because this is a live band. Ronnie's live band that he played with for the last 17 years with Ronnie, with a live track of Ronnie's. And it was so realistic. Everybody was like crying. And it was very moving. And I think it's great for the fans that never saw Ronnie, that they're able to come and see him, and for the ones that did see him, that would love to see him again up on stage.
I'm assuming you're having a lot of people reach out to you and maybe ask you about how this is going. I mean, you guys are almost kind of like the guinea pig of this. And if, you know, it goes out and is successful, then, you know, maybe we'll see a Randy Rhoads hologram or a Dimebag hologram, something,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that the company that we're working with is talking to a lot of different people. And I think it's the way of the future. It's like people were like, oh, you know, when the 8-track came out, oh, what's this? And then the cassette, oh, what's this? And, you know, digital, what's this? Oh, we don't want to do that. We only want analog. We don't want digital. But you know what? It's technology. Technology, I think it's the way. And also, we're losing our legends day by day. We're losing the innovators of metal and our hard rock music. We're losing them every day. What are we going to do? And I don't see a lot of bands coming up to take their place.
Speaking of the innovators of metal, things like that. But in the 70s, when you met Ronnie, were you a metal fan, or were you just like friends with metal people?
Well, I worked at Decca Records.
Okay.
When I lived in England, I worked at Decca Records, and then I worked for an agency booking bands. So I was already really into the music. But my lean to music at that time was blues. I loved blues. I loved like Eric Clapton and, you know, things, and John Mayall's band. I loved all the blues bands.
And we'll kind of wrap it up with a little bit more talk about the Ride for Ronnie. But when you put on these events, you know, the bowling, the Ride for Ronnie, things like that, sorry to get kind of sappy and emotional with you, but I mean, do you kind of go out of them? Are you sad when you leave those things? Are you happy that people are there to honor his legacy? What kind of emotions do you get?
I'm usually very, very happy to see the fans, that they're still coming, that people are actually taking notice of early detection saves lives. We're trying to do, you know, we're creating a lot of awareness and giving money to, you know, we're giving a lot of money to MD Anderson and to Vanderbilt and Nashville and TJ Martel, and now we're working with UCLA in California with Dr. Wong, who is developing a saliva test. So I think it's an emotional, it is a good emotional, it's a happy emotional, knowing that we are doing something good that came out of something bad, and keeping Ronnie's music and memory alive.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy, for taking the time today. And what I like to do at the end of the show here, we came in with We Rock. I would like for you to pick a track, maybe one of your favorite tracks of Ronnie's. Doesn't matter what incarnation of bands, but maybe give a track and then maybe a little story behind it if you have it.
Okay. How about Rainbow Eyes?
Okay.
That was written about me. Ronnie wrote that about me. And it's a beautiful song.
I always thought that there was a quote from Henry Rollins talking about Dio, and he said, if you ever break up in a relationship, he's like, you always put on a record by the artist Ronnie James Dio, because there's always at least 1, 2, 3 Evil Woman Lookout Tonight songs. And I've always...
I hope that's not written about me.
Well, Wendy, it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
Lost my way. She had Summer nights are colder now. They've taken down the fear, and all the lights have died somehow. Oh, were they ever there? No signs of mystery. She lay golden in the sun. No broken harmonies, but I've lost my way. She
All right, before we get into our talk with Martin Bush of Hyborian, let's take the time now to let's talk a little bit about Patreon.com. That's Patreon.com/TalkToMe. If you want to support the Talk To Me podcast monetarily, make sure to head over to Patreon.com, select a tier, a nice monthly subscription type service. It's only a couple of bucks a month. All the money is going back into the podcast, and a lot of great stuff coming up right now. I have a website being built right now that's going to blow your minds once you see it. So if you want to support the podcast monetarily, make sure to head over there. You can do a one-time donation. You can do a monthly subscription service, and it would greatly support the show. So let's get into our second interview of the day, and this is with Martin Bush of Hyborian. And let's check out a track off of their latest album. So this is Hyborian with Blood for Blood.
You are listening to Talk To Me on Uncontrolled Noise. We'll be right back.
All right, that was Blood for Blood by Hyborian, and we are on the phone right now with Martin Bush, vocalist and guitarist of Hyborian. How you doing today, man?
Not too bad, man. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad. Man, you just looks like you just got home from 10 days straight on the road. I mean, how did that go for you?
Man, it was a really good trip. We got to play with some really cool bands, Iron Reagan, Power Trip, Telekinetic Yeti, Droids Attack. It was just pretty crazy the whole time. I'm exhausted, but it was really good.
I bet. Yeah, when I looked at the day that we scheduled this interview and I looked at your tour dates, I was like, geez, you know, that's coming right off of tour. And, you know, from my minuscule touring days, I remember, you know, first day home from tour is never a good day for an interview.
We'll get it done, man.
Well, the new album, Volume 1, is this going to be a continual thing? Like, will the next album be Volume 2, or is this just kind of coincidental?
You know, we got some stuff up our sleeves. Don't want to give too much away, but there's some hints in there as to what's coming next for sure.
And the one thing I've noticed too is it seems to be a lot of how am I going to word this? Like a lot of bands out there kind of not taking a total stance, but I mean, you know, there's kind of some evil in this, and I'm kind of enjoying that. There's not been a whole lot of evil in music lately, you know, with the first track there being a quote from Aleister Crowley, and then there's like later in the album there's some like, you know, backwards masking stuff. I was like, this kind of feels like an old school, you know, just evil record, you know, your parents may not want to listen to it.
You know, one of the things we all love about music so much is that feeling you got when you were a kid, you know, you got your first Zeppelin or Sabbath record or Megadeth or Metallica or whatever it was that your mom took away from you the first time. And that, you know, that feeling of sitting in your room and, you know, thinking this is something super awesome, but also kind of scares you a little bit. And you know, that was kind of one of the things that got all of us into playing music. And so we kind of figured we wanted to follow that path a little bit.
We talked a little bit before we started recording, but you know, this is 6 tracks, but it definitely feels like a full length album. The few times that I checked it out, I couldn't believe that, you know, it was still going on, and not in a bad way, but it was still like, you know, the running times of all the songs are, you know, roughly 5 minutes each.
Yeah. We, you know, when you're pressing a vinyl record, and like the whole point of everything we're doing is centered around the vinyl. You know, we really believe in crafting an album and, you know, going back to, again, that kind of 70s heavy music mentality. And to get the best sound quality out of the vinyl record, you got to be under 40 minutes. Anything over that, it starts to degrade the definition of the low frequencies and things like that. So we figure, you know, if we just stay a little bit under that, you know, between 35 and 40 minutes as far as full run time of the album, we're going to end up putting out the best product.
Speaking of albums, things like that are like the relics of the past. I noticed this album came out on cassette. How's that going for you?
You know, the reason we decided to do that was because, you know, people like to buy MP3s at shows, and a lot of bands are doing like download cards and stuff like that. But there's just, you know, there's, again, going back to the old 70s thing, I guess there's going to be a running theme of this conversation.
So is,
you know, there's something that when you buy a record, it used to be that you get home, you open up the liner notes, sit there and listen to the record and look at the artwork and, you know, spend time with the physical representation of the music. And I feel like that's something that's really been going away. So the way we're doing the cassettes is when we sell them at shows, it's basically you're buying a download card, but you get a cassette with packaging and stuff like that too. So that way you're still walking out of the show with something in your hands.
Oh, that's a cool idea. I never thought about that, but that's definitely a great idea. You know, you get the nostalgic factor of the cassette, but you also get the, you know, downloadable content there too. That's a
right.
Good idea, guys. So being from Kansas City, listeners to the podcast know that I toured early or late 90s, early 2000s. And one thing would always happen, you would get to Kansas and you could spend like 4 or 5 dates in Kansas. You know, you could do that whole Kansas City, what's right there, Lawrence, and then like there's 3 cities like right next to each other. Like you could hit those 3 cities and then go down to like Wichita, and you just stay in, it felt like we were in Kansas for a month. But
right.
So I noticed this like 10-date tour you guys had, you know, you guys kind of stuck in the Midwest. And I've always seen that as kind of a plus, being in the Midwest. And you know, I did the touring out of Nashville. So every which direction you go, there's a good city within 3 or 4 hours. So are you guys kind of seeing that too, where, you know, you don't have to have these long treks in between gigs?
Man. we're a fairly new band, so this was our first really extended road trip. But we've constantly over the last 8 months to a year been doing little Friday, Saturday, Sunday jaunts where we'll hit like Lincoln and Omaha and Des Moines or Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Fayetteville, stuff like that, and just trying to build up some regional fan base so that when we are taking these longer trips that we've got a little padded area around us where it's almost just cheating a little bit,
It truly is. Yeah, because I always feel bad for, up-and-coming bands that are out in the Seattles and even like Utah and stuff like that. I mean, your next biggest city is nine hours away, to where the Midwest and the South and the East Coast, you can tour for months and months if you really wanted to.
Yeah, I think the longest drive we had on this tour was Minneapolis to St. Louis. And with the trailer and stops and everything, it ended up being like 11 hours. But that was by far the longest ride. Both of we were averaging 4 to 6 hours most days.
Nice.
It really isn't too bad.
Any highlights of this tour? Anything stick out of your brain, since it's fresh in your mind?
Man, it was really just pretty across the board fantastic. Shows were pretty well attended. Obviously we had a couple that were thinner, but even at those thinner shows, we sold a ton of merch and it was just a really good trip. I've been a touring musician for most of my adult life and definitely have never been on a first tour with a band that went this well. We did find this muffler shop in Chicago. We were pulling into Illinois and had basically the muffler fall off of our van. We tour in this super old, souped up, rehabbed 83 Chevy G20.
Nice.
And almost all of it is brand new now, but there was a couple little things like the muffler being one of them. But we're like, what are we going to do? So we're rolling into Chicago, and the venue we're playing at is right across the street from a cop shop. And so we're pulling up with a giant trailer and looking like we do. Our van is super loud. We're just, oh man, this is going to go poorly. But we ended up finding this muffler shop where we called them, and they were like, yeah, just come on. We'll get you in and out in 30 minutes. We're like, come on, there's no way that's going to happen. And we showed up, and 15 seconds after pulling into the garage, they had us on a lift, and we're welding. They had beers in our hands, and they're like, yeah, have some beers while you're waiting. And before we could even finish the beers, they replaced the entire exhaust system and had us on our way. It was pretty amazing.
Did you, were you like, hey, we're in a band, we're on tour, we need your help? And they were like, bring it on kind of stuff?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah, I think they definitely moved some stuff around to accommodate us. It was pretty cool.
Wow. You truly never know who you're going to meet.
Can I plug him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that okay to do?
Yeah.
It's called Value Plus Inc., I think was the name of it. But yeah, if you're in Chicago and you need a muffler, go there.
Definitely. If you need to go get your muffler fixed in Chicago. Yeah, I take a trip up to Chicago every once in a while. So if we're ever in town and our muffler falls off, I'll definitely have to.
how often does that happen?
It probably happens more often than you think, I guess. But I remember being on tour in our old van, and basically something similar happened where basically the muffler falls off, but it doesn't fall all the way off. So you still have to reattach it somehow, and like somebody's chain wallet ended up getting, taken apart, and we were under the van, tying it together with a chain wallet and stuff like that. So it's always good times out on tour.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting trying to get it out from under the van once it had fallen off. It wedged itself in all stupid, and it was a trip.
So you guys have had a bunch of, some popular blog sites, websites, Metal Sucks, Nerdist, things like that kind of take a liking to you guys. Did you guys notice maybe on this tour, people coming out and saying, I heard about you guys through those, websites
Definitely.
Or anything like that?
Yeah, a lot of, especially Metal Sucks and Metal Injection and Revolver and Decibel. Those seem to be just recurring themes as people were coming up to the merch table and talking to us. After the show, they had heard one song on a stream from some website or something like that and wanted to come check it out. So it's been very, very, very cool to roll into a town and have people that have never seen you before coming out. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a different age where, you know, you can kind of put a song up and it'll get picked up by a few sites. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're building your fan base to where maybe back in the day you would have to just tour and tour and tour and hopefully word of mouth would get you there. But now, you know, the internet can spread you like wildfire if they wanted to.
It's I mean, I feel like it's always a crapshoot no matter what, but any help along the way is good help.
So you guys recorded this in your own studio and you, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, you know, just converted maybe a practice space into studio, things like that, and were able to take your time and get it right. Are you kind of seeing, you know, along with the internet, are you seeing that, you know, maybe home recordings is such a plus for younger bands coming up today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of a double-edged sword. There's affordable equipment out there that you can get to do a solid home recording, but it's also really hard, you know, and if you don't have the know-how and the skills built up after, you know, a lot of time spent in studios, it's difficult. We're lucky that we've got a couple guys in the band, with a lot of studio experience and we were able to purchase a lot of the stuff that we used to build this studio at incredibly discounted rates. We got pretty lucky a couple different times. We used a lot of vintage microphones that we found from this guy on Craigslist who was like cleaning out a rental property and found a bunch of mics from the 60s and 70s. And had no idea what they were. And he was just like $60 for the lot. And we happened to see it like right when it went up. And we got like $4,000 worth of mics for $60, which is pretty cool.
That's always the best when you can find those good deals.
I probably shouldn't say the name of this bar, but there's a bar here in Kansas City that does this thing called Shake a Day.
Okay.
Which is basically you get 5 dice, you can pay $1 and you get to roll once a day and that's it. And the pot just builds until somebody gets a Yahtzee. And I happened to win that. It was like $1,800 or something like that, which basically went directly into the record. Most of it did. I also got a tattoo that has some dice on it. It says, shake it till you make it.
Nice.
but yeah, so, they, you know, we're obviously just a group of working class idiots. And so being able to put that space together, I feel like we had a couple really big strokes of luck that helped us to do it. But I'm really, really glad it worked out that way.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, man. And like I said, you know, I've been listening to the album a few times, start to finish, the last few days, kind of getting ready for this, and completely fell in love with it. You know, speaking with the PR people about some other things, and I was like, who else do you have coming up? And, you know, Natalie's like, you got to check out this band, Hyborian. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And I was like, wow, I'll definitely talk to them. That's you know, it's a great album. And, you know, obviously you're going to kind of get that, you know, Mastodon vibe from it. But I also think it's like a little bit more rocking than like a Mastodon album too.
Yeah. I mean, we're coming at it from a lot of different places. Ryan is super duper into like, and you know, the first three or so Metallica records. Mm-hmm. And me and Anthony both have a pretty heavy punk rock background and like post-punk stuff. And Justin is really into like more like doom and sludge stuff. And we write everything super democratically. Like if there's one person in the band that doesn't like a riff, we don't use it. We don't do like the majority rules thing either. Like everybody has to be happy with everything. And so I think that it just kind of organically becomes a mix of what we all are, you know?
Very cool, man. And we'll just kind of wind it down here, man. But, you know, what's kind of the future of the band? I mean, are you guys lining up, you know, future tours, things like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like we're heading out again in July with a real cool band from New York called Godmaker. And that actually tomorrow we've got a conference call to kind of start the routing and figure out exactly where we're going and what we're doing. I think the plan is Northeast, kind of do a loop up to New York and back. But there's a possibility that there'll be another band on that package as well. But it's a little bit up in the air still. And then, kind of between now and then, we're just writing and kind of doing pre-production on the next record.
Wow, already. You're just starting to get traction on this one and already jumping in on the second one. Let's go ahead and go with go with, you know, I hate to even ask this question, so cliche, but I mean, what's kind of like your dream tour at this point?
Oh man, I mean, High on Fire is my favorite band of all times. So if that happened to work out at some point, that would be pretty great in my book.
Well, very cool, man. Well, we started out the show with Blood for Blood, so let's take another track on here to get us out of here.
How about Maelstrom?
All right, you want to give a little story behind that?
Yeah, that one is basically we've got this character that is the, I don't know if anybody out there knows who Joseph Conrad is, but he was an author, an English author from 1800s-ish, and he always had this character named Marlowe that was kind of a narrator, but never really the central figure of a book, and that's kind of what the Traveler is for us, a guy that travels around the cosmos and records things and kind of bestows powers upon people and things like that when they need it. But this is a guy fighting a demon that's manifesting as a storm on the top of a mountain, and that's kind of where it's at.
There you go, man. That's that's one thing I like about this band too, is it makes you think. You're not just using keywords and catchphrases, and you know, you might need to go look in your history books to maybe understand some things. And that's one thing I always loved about metal growing up. So that's amazing.
Well, cool, man. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, thanks, Martin. You have a good day, and we'll see you on the road.
Hello, everybody. This is Max Cavalera, Soulfly, Return to Roots. And you are listening to Talk to Me. Stay metal. Oi!
All right, I got to say a huge thank you to Wendy Dio for taking some time, and also to Martin Bush of Hyborian for taking the time. Two great interviews for you guys this week, and hopefully you guys enjoyed both of them. And now on to my final thoughts. And my final thoughts for this week are, these will probably be my final thoughts, because Jamie Josta has decided to do an additional thoughts segment sung to the tune of Obituary's Final Thoughts, and it's just a little too close to home, and I don't want you guys to be coming on board late and checking out old episodes and being like, man, he's totally ripping off Jamie Josta, when I'm pretty sure it's the other way around. Is it shared thoughts, or is it just two dudes that are roughly the same age, grew up listening to the same music, and have shared thoughts? We'll just call it that. You never know, man. I've had two of the guys from Hatebreed on the podcast. He's never came on. He, I guess, refuses to. I don't know. This show gets great numbers. This show gets all the wonderful blabbermouth headlines, all that fun stuff. But Jamie Josta keeps ducking the show. But yet, you know, we'll get similar guests on. I'll get him first. He'll get him second. And his questions are eerily similar to mine. So for my final thought this week, I guess I'm going to change the segment to maybe Last Breath or Perseverance or something, because he's obviously not being very inclusive, and high tides raise all ships, and, you know, Riff Lord and all this other stuff that he continues to say each and every week on his show. But yet he won't come on my show. He won't raise the tide and raise all the ships of the other podcasters. He'll beg and plead to go on WTF and Rogan and all the other mainstream podcasts, and he'll beg and plead to go on Colt Cabana's podcast. But yet, you got to think about it. To be inclusive and to raise all ships, you need to raise up everybody. Not just go above your podcast, but raise everyone up else to your level. Why don't you throw somebody a bone? You know, you continue to complain on your podcast about all these bands that you took out on tour in the 90s and in the 2000s that have broke up. And you're like, man, I wasted that opportunity on a band that, you know, that didn't go anywhere. But yet you're going on tour with Killswitch Engage and Anthrax and wasting a slot for a band that could actually use it. So, you know, maybe you should look in the mirror, Jamie Josta, and see what you're doing, because you're not being all-inclusive. You're not high tide raises all ships. You're just being selfish. So my final thoughts this week are that. Final thoughts! So I will talk to you guys next Tuesday with my guests, Fallon Bowman of Kitty, formerly of Kitty, your favorite Kitty member, my favorite Kitty member, and it was a great conversation. So for the Talk to Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys next week. Talk to me. Do not attempt to approach. Talk to me, motherfucker. You gon' listen up close. Raised by the devil, marked by the gods to be the king of this podcast. Shit when it drops. Fucking around with Josh, get your face all split up. Get stuck in the zone when you lit up. You better shut your bitch up and pick up. When you pause that dopest weekly podcast, rock stars, the raw rap, and everything in between. You tune into the grooviest, fattest shit on the planet. Uncle Doc from this jack of all trades. We demand it every single week to hear this motherfucker speak candid. Hey, breathe the twisted. If you missed it, bitch, you slick.